Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, we'll try to cover the entire chapter here tonight. And we're going to be dealing with Abram and Lot together. And some difficulties that's coming down the line here. Genesis chapter 13. And if you remember, Abram was called by God to go to the land of Canaan. And as soon as he gets there, famine. And in order to escape that, instead of going right straight to God and saying, "What should I do here?" he just escapes. And then he does something that you would find in a Hallmark movie where he says, "Hey wife, you look so gorgeous, I'm afraid I'm gonna die, so you better say you're my sister," which is the half truth in the sense of that she was a half sister, but she was also his wife. And I imagine she felt so appreciated. For survival's sake, go ahead and state this lie. And guess what? I guess she was drop-dead gorgeous enough to where they took her right in. I mean, the princes of the land said, "Hey, Pharaoh, you got to check out this lady." And he did, and brought her right in. And then all of a sudden, there was some plagues that started happening on the land, and he knew exactly who to go to and says, "Why did you lie to me?" Now, here's the thing. We have a reputation. It's either good or it's bad. It's either or. And anybody who doesn't like us is really going to exaggerate whatever's there. You agree with me on that? And so if Abram is being called to go to a land where God is supposedly supposed to take care of them, and he goes in and in lack of faith decides to make this move, he not only hinders those that he is around in the sense of those who don't believe in God, but he also hinders those who do believe and was also called on this mission. Wives, and here I am not trying to get you to question your husband, but have you ever struggled with a decision that your husband has made? Don't nod your head, okay? You don't have to nod. Don't make any eye looks in his direction. But based on his lack of faith, has it ever caused a little bit of doubt in your life? Are we heading down the right path? If he doesn't believe, should I? Children, whatever children are in here, have you ever seen of lack of faith in your parents' lives? Okay? All of us are children to some extent, right? Does everybody agree with that statement? Okay? But have you ever seen a lack of faith in your parents' lives, and then all of a sudden, that lack of reality for them has caused you to ask some questions about your faith. And so we are not an island to ourselves. And so when he's jumping out and taking his family to a place that they don't know, out of their school district, off their sports teams, we no longer have our park to go to. I'm exaggerating and making it a little bit modern for us right now. But he has taken them to a totally different spot because he has faith in God, and then his lack of faith shows up. Now, I think that's all of us, isn't it? To a certain extent. God's called us. If you're in here and you're a child of God, there has been some point in your life where you have revealed a lack of faith. And so if you sat there the last time that I preached and said, this wasn't for me, I think that's when we couldn't call ourselves a liar. You say, whoa, I wouldn't say that. I think let's just face the facts. If we can say that we have not sinned in this fashion, we have a dementia-like setting, right? A dementia towards our own sin and our own lack of faith. Let's see the reality of what's going on here. So as we jump into this, you'll actually see a switch tonight. And I love the fact that these are real human beings that we're talking about. Real human beings that did have a lack of faith that we can see in our own lives, but yet we also see that this same person who had a lack of faith can also step up and put his faith in our God. And you say, hey, that's awesome. It can be done. And so you can sit here and say, yes, it can be done. I can do it because of how good our God is. So as they have left Egypt, they've left Egypt. And you go into verse number 1. In fact, the title of this, if you haven't seen it already, Peace and Circumstances You Cannot Change. And if you've never been in a predicament like this in your life where this is the description, it's going to happen. Trying to create peace, trying to make peace in circumstances that you cannot change. As we jump into this in verse number 1, it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold, remember? Because he had given him all this stuff for Sarai, okay? Because he was the recipient of if Sarai was to go into Pharaoh's new harem, Abram would be the recipient of the gift that would be given for that, since there was no other family members there. And so he's received all of these things, Lot the same. And it says in verse 3, and he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. By the way, these verses, don't miss what's going on here. He returned to the place where he has already called upon the name of the Lord and has set up an altar to worship our God. He's returned to what he knew worked in his faith. He put his faith in God to make his trek all the way to Canaan. He set that altar up. And remember, I told you that it seems like things, he starts to make the right decisions when he starts setting up altars. When he goes to worship God, he starts to make these right decisions. And he's returning after a bad decision, after a lack of trust, after all of influencing people in the wrong way. He has returned back to God. Some would say that could be a rededication, a recommitment. And don't we have to do that quite a lot throughout life? Maybe that's a daily reoccurrence. In fact, that should be a daily reoccurrence where we wake up in the morning and say, God, I want to honor you because that is my purpose. And help me to see the beauty of your gospel in my life today, where I am inadequate, I am complete through Jesus Christ. Now, because of the Holy Spirit, I can do what I've been called to do. And so we need to do that. We need to acknowledge that. We need to accept that very fact. And so that's where we're at. You go on in verse number 5, and we see this predicament that we start running into. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled them there in the land. Then in the land. Here you have growing pains. Has anybody experienced that in any time in their life? You know, where all of a sudden your house is getting a little bit smaller? I mean, it hasn't changed at all. And the fact that there's the same amount of square footage, but it just keeps feeling like it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You start to have growing pains. Things start to change, and all of a sudden you realize that the closer you are together, the more love you sense in your family, right? Okay, I got a few giggles out of that, okay? Because we know what's coming up, Christmas, right? And so how many of you have already had a Christmas gathering where you've gotten together with family or friends and you've eaten? Has anybody had one yet? Okay, all right. No one yet? All right, so sort of. Okay, so you know what's going to happen. We pick the smallest house possible to go to for a gathering, right? And we get together, and it gets hot. I mean, it could be 0 degrees outside, but it's hot. And you know someone's going to be late, right? Someone's going to be late. You know every single year they are late. And it's going to happen. And they've been told a certain time, and they don't show up. And then when they do show up, their food isn't ready. And then there's other food that's trying to get ready. And then all of a sudden, you start getting those hangry people. And Pastor talked about that today. You know, we start to get a little hangry, and we get up in each other's grills. And then all of a sudden, some things happen. Stupid things happen at family gatherings. Can I get an amen on that, okay? Is that the only thing time you're going to say amen tonight? Okay, all right. We understand. And when it gets tight, people get a little bit gristled. They start having some issues, and something needs to happen. One of the first things that people usually do is turn on a football game or something like that, or they start handing out some appetizers to the children and any of the pregnant women that are in there, right? Because we got to keep them going, okay? Get the pickles out of the jar. Let's go. Let's get this dealt with. And or you send the kids outside. So I know it's 0 degrees, but we got to get them out of this house, and they're going to have to go play and throw snowballs at each other. And if one of them has a rock in it and knocks another kid out, hey, they're not talking right now, so it's okay. And all of a sudden, you start to do all these different things in order to make it work, because you just want to get through Christmas without an argument. Has anybody been successful without zero political debates, arguments, pranks, whatever? Has anybody ever been successful at a Christmas gathering to be able to have none of those things? Just one. Did you threaten them with their life? Oh, with her eyes. I could see it. Okay. It happened, right? We all know what's going on here. So you say, where are you going with this? In the fact that they were growing, and the fact that they had to have so much land in order to take care of their animals, and they had all of these workers that were helping them out, they were having growing pains. And all of a sudden, Abram's servants or workers or family members, whatever it might have been, Lot, in the same way, they are getting at each other and saying, hey, listen, you're on our land. You're on what we designated. This is a boundary. Don't cross it. And they're having some squabbles because of these growing pains. You know, this is something that they really couldn't control. So, they can control their attitude, right? Well, now remember, they just came from Egypt. They just acquired all of these people. Some of them might not like each other. Some of them might have some racial differences or grown-up differences, or hey, they can't communicate clearly with this person because this person was back from Ur and this person was from Egypt. And I mean, you've got some new people that have come into the tribe, and so sometimes there's just that squabble. But if you are trying to survive and to make sure that your herds, your flocks are doing fine, I mean, listen, sometimes people start getting a little frustrated, saying you're edging over onto what I use to help my family survive. And so these boundaries are becoming issues. And so this isn't something that they can really control. This is out of their hands. And in fact, on that note, you see that the Canaanites and the Perizzites are dwelling in that area as well. So it's not only Lot's people, but it's Abram's people that are coming at it. But then there's these other clans, these tribes, these people groups that are coming in, and they need places for their people and for their flocks, their herds. And so all of a sudden you've got all this commotion. What do you do? How do you keep the peace? Do you just get mad and run? Or do you keep the peace? Now, we need wisdom in these moments in order to keep that peace so that we can walk away okay. That there's an ability to come back, to ability to rejoin, that the family still can come together. God, give us wisdom. I think that needs to be a prayer coming up. So how do they fix it? How do they work through this? And point number one, a choice had to be made for peace. A choice had to be made for peace. You go into verse number 8, and it says, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." I'm sorry, Carlton, I have the remote up here, and I haven't even been messing with it. Thank you for keeping up. I've been reading my Bible, so I hope you all brought your Bible and are reading your Bible. Okay, all right, do we need to say that again? I just got distracted, okay? Let's go back to verse 8. "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." I don't want any strife here. Let's not cause issues. Let's be reconciled together. Let's work this out. He says, "Is not the whole land before thee?" He's going back to the promises that were given to him by God. Here it is. It's all laid out on display for your family. Here it is. It's given to you. He says, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And he offers up for the sake of peace, for the sake of them to be able to still be reconciled and still love each other and to deal with each other. He says, "Listen, I'm going to give you an option. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." We understand in these circumstances, we need more room. We need to split up. And so I'll take my family and my stuff and we'll go off into this area. But I want you to choose first. You go to the left, I go to the right. You want the right, I'll go to the left. Now, do you understand how intense this option was in order to be able to give it to Lot? I mean, first of all, let's go back. We know that the Canaanites and the Perizzites are in the land. And so if Abram, who just came back into this land, we know that there is a people group that might not like, in fact, two people groups that might not like us. So I need to make sure that our family can stick together in the sense of we understand that we have to split up for the sake of taking care of our stuff, our people, our animals. But yet not split up in the fact that we can't stand each other. We still got each other's backs. Because there's other people groups in this area that might not have our back. And you'll find out in the next chapter that Lot gets in trouble. And guess who comes to save Lot? Abram. He steps up. He's still got this relationship. He wanted that to stay together. So in the midst of keeping the peace, he gave first choice to Lot. When Abram, as the one who was in charge of everything, would have been guaranteed by their heritage, by their culture, that he would have first shot. So what's a principle that you gain from that? Sometimes, in order to make peace, we need to give up our rights. Does that mean all the time? No, I said sometimes. Sometimes there can be compromise in order to keep the peace. Sometimes there is a point where we need to give up. We need to be able to sacrifice something in order to keep the peace. And Abram was willing to step up and say, I want peace. I'm eager to keep this peace. Let's do this. You take first dibs. He deferred to Lot. So that's good and dandy for them, but I won that argument yesterday. And I know what I'm entitled to based on the fact that I won that argument yesterday. See, what's still going on between you and Keeley, right? That's what you're asking, right? Okay. I'm just saying, for the sake of illustration here, sometimes in the midst of a relationship, we grab hold of what we want and we hold on tight, and nobody's going to take this from me because, all right, let's just go from the manly standpoint. I'm the man of my household. Who's the head of this house? Who rules the roost? And yet, if you were at the wedding yesterday, you understand that that's not exactly how God intended it to be. In fact, what does he say? I want you to love her as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? How many rights did Jesus give up for the sake of his church? Ouch. He gave it all. Now, I say sometimes because there were different times that you saw Paul actually stood up and says, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. I don't deserve this. Back off. We see that. We see that in the New Testament. We see what's going on with Paul. And there are times where he takes a stand. But sometimes, in order to make peace, we need to step back and be able to give something up. But you know what? Sometimes being a peacemaker means going in different directions. And that's okay. Sometimes that's just what God is pushing us to be able to do and to move on. And you say, well, if we go with the relationship that he was just talking about, does that mean that I need to go in a separate direction than my wife? No, that's not what I'm saying here, okay? Because that's not biblical. Stick with her, all right? But in the sense of sometimes in this family unit, it worked out better for them in order to keep the peace for them to separate. There wasn't that covenantal bond between Lot and Abram. Okay, you got to keep the other side of Scripture as well in order for this to work. But sometimes we do need to go different directions. Sometimes what we made an agreement to might need to be switched up because we need to keep the peace in this situation. I'm going to kill you if you don't go a different direction. And we need to understand, right? And I know that's exaggerated again, but you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we just need to part ways. That's happened within churches. That's happened within family members. That's happened in a lot of different ways where you've just seen, hey, it's just better to go on. And then both parties are much healthier because of that. But I said sometimes. But in this instance, it was just healthier to separate into two different directions. There was that fork in the road. You know, there was another point that I wanted to point out here. There's another thing that I wanted to state. How could Abram step up after you just watched him in his lack of faith? How was he okay with stepping up and allowing Lot to choose? How is he in the right mind to be able to give sacrificially and say, Lot, you go ahead, you take the choice? Remember back when he returned to the place of worship? When we are consistent in our worship of our God, it helps us in having the right mindset when we need to make peace. When we're consistently going to His Word, when we're consistently meeting and gathering, assembling with the body of believers that He has created for us, when we're allowed to do that and to get underneath His Word and to be humbled, you know, that helps us to get in the right mindset. When we see Him and see all that He's done and we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ and how He's given so much more and how He did give His rights, then we can step back and say, wait, I am in awe of You as I worship You, I can do this now. I can make peace. I can step up. I can give of myself because it's all about You, God. It's not about me. It's all about You. That's what God wants. And so as you see Abram going to that place of worship, his mind is in the right perspective and ready, instead of being selfish and like what he did with his wife, he was willing to be open and offer this as a gift to Lot because he was eager and willing to make peace. You know, there's a New Testament verse that supports this, Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. What does that mean? That means that the other party that I'm dealing with has to be ready to go and everything for everything to work out correctly. No, this is what is dealing with us personally on a personal level, okay? He's saying, listen, if it be possible, as much as life in you, it needs to happen in your heart, in my heart, that we're eager and willing to make peace and to reconcile with other people. Will they always jump in and be ready to reconcile? Has anybody experienced the fact that some people just don't want to reconcile? They just don't want to make peace? Guess what? That's not your fault. The only time it is your fault and when you need to step up is when it is in your court to say, hey, I want a peace and I'm going to be willing to sacrifice. I'm going to be willing to step up. Sometimes I might need to go into a different direction, but I want this to happen. I am eager to do what God has called me to do. And most of the time, I would dare say, it is in our court and we still need to handle the ball correctly. Sometimes instead of progressing, I mean, have you ever watched basketball, you know, football, any soccer, okay? You watch a sport, they want to progress down the field, helping each other out to get where they need to go in order to score, correct? That's the goal. Have you ever accidentally passed it to the wrong person? Thrown it out, double dribbled, right? I mean, there's multiple ways that we mess it up ourselves, and then we yell at the person and say, "What? You didn't catch it." Well, if you throw it correctly, I would be able to catch it. I mean, have you ever seen that where people are getting mad at each other because the one didn't catch the ball, but the other one didn't throw it correctly? I mean, don't give me a sissy throw. Give me one that I can actually catch here. And they're fighting and bickering. It's like, It has to start with us, how we handle the ball, and we pass that off and ready and willing for that peace. That needs to start with us. Are you willing? Are you ready? You jump down here in the second point, a decision of sight. You head over into verse number 10. Carlton, you can keep going with it. You got it. I give up on it tonight. All right? Verse 10. It says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." How ironic, right? It says that he looks up and, man, it's beautiful. Everything's just well watered. The grass is greener on the other side. And he says, even as the garden of the Lord. What is it? What is he? He's saying, hey, it looks like the Garden of Eden. What God had created. Man, it looks absolutely gorgeous. It's the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. "And thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." Anybody remember that term right there, that city? So he looked up, he saw it was right for the eyes. Oh, this will take care of my place. Whoa, yeah, my people, my animals. We'll be able to, it looks great. Did he seek the Lord? Oh, come on, really? I mean, it looks great. Did he seek the Lord? He didn't. But you know what? It says in verse 13, "But the men of Sodom were as angels." No. They were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Wicked exceedingly. I wonder what else motivated him to walk towards that direction. We can ask those questions. We don't know, but in the fact of the matter, you don't see that he's consulting with God, that he's going back to that worship place, that altar, and saying, "God, what you want me to do, I want to follow you as Abram's following you." You don't see that. He just looks up, he sees that it's gorgeous, and he goes. You know, looks can be deceiving, because that same greener grass was consumed by fire. That decision led to a chain of events that affected his family in a great way, in a very harmful way. Every decision that we make, it is important for us not just to see that it looks okay, but to consult with God and say, "God, what do you want from me?" See, Abram, in this moment, he has a decision of faith instead of a decision by sight. He goes in verse 12. You saw it there. "And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom." You jump down to verse 14. "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." Okay? Has anybody been able to count the dust of the earth yet? Okay, that's a lot. That means a lot. "So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in the Hebron. And I love this. "And built there an altar unto the Lord." You see the perspective, the mindset of Abram, where he starts by worshiping God. He screwed up bad. And he goes back to where it was in the beginning. He starts by worshiping God which gave them the right mindset to be able to offer and to be able to and be willing to and eager to be a peacemaker and to be able to sacrifice and to be able to split directions and to still be able to be ready to have each other's backs in the midst of a foreign land. And he's saying, here, Lot, take it. He has faith. You say, wait a minute. If they do split up, then that means that they're more likely to be attacked by some of these other people. Wouldn't it be better for them to stick together? Well, they understood at this point that that wasn't going to be able to work out. So what does Abram need? He needs faith that God's going to make his promises fulfilled. But also in the fact that he was willing, as God had promised him, all of these things, the blessing, the lineage that would reach to Jesus. And even though he didn't mention Jesus, he knew that that's the fulfillment of it. We could see, hindsight is 20/20. It's absolutely gorgeous. We can look back and see how God had promised all these things. And Abram had to come to a point where he's saying, God, you've got this. I can't change any of these circumstances. I'm just going to put my faith in you, and no matter what Lot chooses, God, I put myself in your hands. His worship of God allowed him to be content with whatever God would give. His correct view of God, his correct view of self, and what was going on around him allowed him to see that I can do what God has called me to do because, God, you've got this. It's all dependent on you. I'm content in you. I'm going to be humble in you because I have faith in you. God, you've got this. And so he started by worshiping God, and he ended after God renewed his promise with him and said, hey, this is all yours. You could walk the length of it, the breadth of it. Hey, listen, it's all yours. Your seed's going to be as the dust of the earth, and if anybody was going to count it, that's how many. And God responds in worship. Is that how we respond? We were here for a few months, and then COVID hit. And I'm not sure my response was always in faith. And they told us 2 weeks and we'd go back to normal. Do you remember that? It still hasn't happened yet. And we're making our way through all kinds of names. Nobody knows how to say Omicron anymore. It's funny how people say it. But here's another freakout zone. And you know, Christians should be the ones in this foreign land, because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Saying, God, you've got this. Sometimes I can give up a few things for the sake of keeping peace with the ones that matter and what God has allowed these relationships to come together. What is God wanting me to give up in order to keep these relationships? Sometimes we do need to go separate ways, but yet God has allowed for this to happen, this church to happen, these families to happen. We need to have faith in God. You know, COVID shouldn't be separating us. Political parties shouldn't be separating us. Masks, vaccines, fill in the blank, should not be separating us. Are we willing to trust in God and whatever he's going to do? Because he's made a promise to us. There's hope. We heard about that this morning. What if Jesus never came? Well, he did come. And so therefore, we have hope for Christmas. We have hope for eternity. How much are we willing to make decisions to make the peace? How much are we willing to step up in our faith to show others around us that God's got this? How much are we willing to find contentment in our God because He is enough? Has he allowed a moment in this past week for you to be content in Him? I went hunting this past week. I don't know if you saw. Actually, I think I was hunted. And if you haven't saw just the big green blob over here, you just go check it out. I know you're going to see it at some point. Most people have made giggles up at this point, okay? All right? We've all had our jokes, okay? I know it already looks like a redneck truck anyway, but here we go. And in that moment, I'm thinking, God, what in the world? How many times do I got to get hit in Taylorville for crying out loud? How many times does my truck got to get messed up? What are we going to do? Hey, you know what? At least the tires still work, right? It still got me to where I needed to go. And I need to find that contentment in Him. And just whatever happens in the small things and the big things, God, you know, they keep saying all these things about this and that. And if you watch the news long enough, you'll become frustrated. If you listen to the radio enough, you'll become frustrated. It's like, God, what are you doing? Are we content in our Heavenly Father? No matter what it is. And what are we willing to do to make peace with the people that He brings in our lives? So no matter what happens, no matter what circumstances that are in our lives, we know that we've got their back and they've got ours. I appreciate the family that is here at Grace. I really do. And I think that there's enough of a family here that we understand that we've got each other's backs. And I think that's got the little bit of peace that God gives us here on earth, a little taste of heaven, the family that He brings together. Let's continue to unite. Let's continue to gather. Let's continue to have each other's backs. Let's continue to make peace. Let's continue to grow, not only spiritually, but numerically. Man, we've got a lot of seats to fill, don't we? And there's a lot of people out in Taylorville and the surrounding areas that need to know what this kind of peace can have in our lives, because if you look out across the neighborhoods, you're not seeing a whole lot of that. You're not seeing it. It has to happen within the church. And just like I stated earlier at the very beginning, where I said Abram's faith, or lack thereof, had a reputation. Does Grace Baptist faith have a reputation in our community? That's the question we've got to ask. And that starts with the individuals in each one of these pews and in the chairs. That's where it starts. You say, well, these people don't have much faith. How do you? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to peace and make peace? Are you willing to be content? Are you willing to be humble? Are you willing to do what God's called you to do, because God is enough? Those are some major questions for us to ask as we close it out. God, we thank You so much for all that You've given and what You continue to give. God, we thank You for who You are and that You are the bringer of peace, not only between You and us, but between us and others. And God, we're thankful that You allow us to have peace with You, but to make peace with others, and that we can bear the gospel to others so that they can have peace with You. God, we're so thankful that You have allowed us to be a part of Your plan. And God, help us to have faith in Your plan, that we can move forward in this foreign land that You've called us to, looking forward to the hope that You've given. God, we love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.